Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted SEO podcast host. I'm here with Adrian Nikolov, who's going to introduce his agency he's working with, which means in Bulgarian, let's go. He's going to tell us where his origins are from in the digital marketing world, and then we'll get into the weeds as much as possible.
Yeah, hello, Jeremy. Thank you for having me. I am Adrian, the founder of Haide Digital. And as you mentioned it, Haide means let's go in Bulgarian. I have around, 18 years of experience in SEO and digital marketing. I'm a certified Google expert. I do ads as well. But SEO is my main game. And it has been for more than a decade. Haide is a fairly new company. I established it around 6 months ago, and it was inspired by everything that's happening nowadays in the world of digital marketing, and not only, everywhere. Driven by the idea that AI is going to take our jobs, I decided to make AI do our jobs better and just deliver a service that is highly AI oriented, but backed up by vast SEO experience and knowledge.
I think that's the play is, the more you cower in fear, if you're afraid of losing your job because of X, that factor is probably going to take your job. You have to grab the bull by the horns. And it's kind of silly to fear it because we in the SEO industry, we've been rolling with the punches since Panda. We've been rolling with the punches since Google came out. We've lived with the tides of the algorithm changing and shifting. I think what's most scary is that a lot of SEOs that I saw grew to rely on the monopolistic power of Google to hold the search space. We had the invention of the Chrome browser. It proliferated out. AltaVista, Hotbot, all of the alternative search engines kind of died. Yahoo, folded itself into Microsoft, which became Bing, and Bing became meek and subservient, and people legitimately stopped asking, well, how do I optimize also for Bing? And instead, everything from 2010 to 2020 was all Google. Everything digital flowed through Google. And now we have the return of what my other guest called Paul Pape. He said, we're back in the wild west. The civilization that we thought was there, it's not there. But it's great to have some competition because it means that we don't have to be so hidebound to a black box system that pays us so little respect.
Indeed, indeed. I agree. I watched that episode, by the way. Great stuff.
I'm curious, when you're looking at AI capabilities, are you looking at it from a dual lens of productivity and distribution as much as it is treating as its own new semi-organic channel?
Actually, both. I think they're internally connected, both concepts. Productivity is the spark that drives us. Productivity has always been a thorn in our foot. Now with all of the capabilities and the AI automations that exist, we can make more time for us, make more time to be creative instead of only being productive, because creativity is productive as well. And in terms of the organic part, it all lines up. Being overly productive, using AI to empower your productivity, the steroids that we always needed, becoming developers ourselves, the dream of every SEO expert and every person that's been around. And we now have it. So good times.
One of the, What's one of the biggest unlocks for yourself personally in terms of being able to do something that early in your career was kept away from you because of just the weight of the lift, the size, the technical difficulty that AI has solved?
Building my own tools, literally removing the developer issue, and me becoming the actual developer, creating complicated tools and instruments that can drive both my productivity and my organic traffic up. Also, ads automation, content automation, building complete topical authority systems that heal each that heal themselves through data that is automatically being collected. Creating, pulling context from everything in the world related to the projects and just adding it into one database to make it smarter than everyone on my team, actually. This is just crazy good. And of course, we all hate it when we have to set up our WordPress website that, you know, WordPress, you need to go in and manually tick all the checks in Yoast or whatever you are using, Rank Math, manually add the schema, the structured data, manually push the internal links and everything, like so much manual labor that is now gone. I'm not saying that the workload is less, it's even more because it's so interesting. It's like an addiction. I used to be a gamer back in the days, and I compare what I'm living through right now with my addiction to StarCraft 10 years ago. I literally don't want to stop.
I was a huge StarCraft 2 player. I actually ran a huge subreddit, All Things Terran, on Reddit, consistently watching all of these matches and posting the streaming video, and ran a huge community. So I definitely get that aspect of the addictive nature of it. I mean, I had a concept, 4 days ago of, hey, the value that I have in all of these old SEO conversations, I really have a method of, all the human to human conversation I have. I should make that into a service offer. So within an hour, I bought the domain, stood up the WordPress site, grabbed the REST credentials, gave it to Claude Code, and within an hour, I had a fully functional site, human-certifiedcontent.com. It's ironic that my human certified content came out of an AI tool, but the focus of it was about, hey, I can offer you a service and create content that's based off of conversations. I have that vault, and I've gone back and I've had to pull out anecdotes, pull out, insight, pull out quotables, so I can construct, subject matter expert content for the SEOs who, the emperor has no clothes, the cobbler's kids has no shoes. SEOs everywhere don't have any good SEO content on their site. But that went from an idea to execution, within 6 hours, and like looking at how much content I was able to stage, build up, fix these things. I'm like, this would have been a huge undertaking even 2 years ago, and I had started using, Jarvis, which is now Jasper, but in 2015 was the first time that I toyed around with an LLM tool, and it was pretty janky, not great, but
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, it was well before the ChatGPT revolution in 23, but the weight lift of not having to dink around so much just in WordPress, like just publishing a blog post, it's weird that I think about it now of how much of my SEO life was just tinkering around and puttering around in WordPress, which I love and hate. Because on the one hand, it's a good open source, and it's like, oh, hey, a plugin can do anything. And then you're like, but I have to get a plugin for everything. Like, they still haven't fixed the comments issue. The fact that they have a vulnerability of spammers coming in and spamming comments. Me and Rand Fishkin were discussing it on LinkedIn that we lost the community aspect of our websites to social media in part because we allowed our comment sections on our blogs to be spammed to death, then started ignoring them. And the community aspect of that just slowly started to migrate over to social media. I think if we had not had half of the internet on WordPress with these crappy interfaces, we could have built so much better interfaces to work with our communities. There isn't exactly any reason that the basic architecture of liking a post, of commenting and commenting back and building your community, that should have been in WordPress 3.2. That should have been something that we at the baseline was, you know, something that we embraced. Instead, we let it be taken. And now we have to play in somebody else's garden.
Exactly. And the initial idea of WordPress was for it to be a community platform, a blogging platform. It still is, though. But imagine if there wasn't such a major issue with all of the spam. I literally don't know a person that ever commented on the write a comment WordPress blog. Non-SEO person and not cheap Air Jordan person, you know. And imagine if this was built like with the idea and quality of Reddit. But instead of subreddits, we would all had WordPress websites and it would have been much, much powerful. Heck, nowadays everyone would have been, hey, you need to have a WordPress community because you want to rank in AI instead of Reddit, you know, and YouTube.
The distributed system, you know, has kind of collapsed on itself. It's ironic, though, because I think at this moment it's more clear than ever that owning your own audience is mandatory. It's a process where you have to actually actively try to build that and not treat Google like the endless ocean that you can fish in every day and just get everything that you need.
Exactly. But you know what is a major problem of what you just said? Not everyone is built for creating this audience, and not everyone like feels it. There are introverts. I know a lot of big business people that don't even have social media. I know some fellow startup founders that are just too shy from camera and don't want to feel embarrassed. And anyone says on to write a comment on LinkedIn. And now AI fills that gap because the system we are building don't really require your face there. You will get the presence. You will edit the comments, but you aren't posting it. It's a different feeling. It's very cool, turning introverts to social people.
I agree that there is more latitude in space. There was a moment where it's like, if you want to succeed, you have to build a personal brand too. You know, as a SaaS vendor, as a company,
there still is.
There's a lot of pressure on it. But I think you're right that there is a growing space where, done correctly, you know, based off of actual, like, you still have to talk to people to figure out what to do, but you don't have to necessarily put yourself out on TikTok every single day and be reporting, you know, the primary content manufacturer. There's more in different ways to do it. What are some of those that you're deploying for some of your clients and in what verticals?
The verticals, I'm going to start with that. We are focused on software as a service companies, e-commerce, and fintech. But of course, as a startup brand, we are open to also suggestions. If a project seems interesting enough, I would go for it. Building our portfolio is the main priority right now, like growth. And the strategies, I already mentioned the topical authority systems that we are building, but they expand to social media, as well. Let me give you an example. For instance, we take a software as a service brand and we run the diagnostic first, like our discovery period, discovery process. That's a completely automated diagnostic that runs through all the MCPs. It crawls the website with Screaming Frog, pulls all of the relevant keyword data with the data for SEO and stuff like that. You know the APIs. So we are building a profile of the brand to begin with. Then from that context, and of course, starting with the technical SEO, we can start developing the actual topical authority system. We are doing that by first creating the voice profile of the brand, pulling everything that this brand ever published on social media, and everything backwards, like all of the comments that have been said about this brand on social media, and we synthesize it to create this this writer, literally this content creator, which is the new head of content for this brand. The topical authority system, of course, topical authority begins within your own website, and it's not only blog articles. Writing blog articles nowadays is like a piece of cake. Hey, write me an article. It's not exactly like that. You will get AI slop if you do that. But yeah, but it expands to social media as well. There are a lot of strategies that we are currently testing, and most of them are very effective. For instance, there is the signal interception automation that we have, which is practically a newsjacking flow. We get all of the relevant signals in accordance with the brand voice and the topical map. And we just, from the signal, from the article itself, or from the publication or press release, we create several pieces of content that are specifically built for the various social media. For instance, LinkedIn carousel. We automate the images as well. Instagram shorts, Facebook long form, stuff like that. YouTube shorts even. Everything is handled with AI because it's awesome, first. And secondly, we are very, how should I put this? We are very picky and very excited to build each and every system, and just playing the game, you know. I remember my first AI generated video. Oh man, it was total crap. but now the things we are able to do are simply amazing. Of course, we still need editors, but the way I would hire an editor today is that I want one that knows AI, that uses AI constantly. So he or she can work with me and we are on the same page, you know? Also, coming back to the topical authority system, there our main goal is to cover, of course, produce content, produce the correct content. And, you know, the main goals of SEO is to bring organic traffic and leads and money, revenue. Of course, with all the items related, revenue is not the direct KPI, but it's very achievable. Where I was going with that is that we are building content to grab the potential buyers from each part of their stage. We are creating middle of the funnel, bottom of the funnel, and top of the funnel pages. And embedded within the system, we have a tracking dashboard which tracks all related data to each of the pages we publish. Because a system may look perfect. It may, like on paper, it can be perfect, but you don't know if it is so before you get the data. And that's actually why my brand is called Haide. It means let go. It means break stuff. It means publish stuff. You need the data because then you need to feed it back to the system so it automatically improves itself. And covering all of the funnels is just spectacular. Of course, AI adores the content we build because all of the data we have so far and all of the research is plugged in within. And the writing style ticks all the check marks of the requirements for being cited on ChatGPT or Claude. And combining this with social media, you literally have a search everywhere optimization platform.
Curious about the perspective of how you think people should understand that top of funnel, middle of funnel, bottom of funnel, because, you know, and this comes from my storied history. You know, I've been playing the game since 2007, and I would describe the content marketing strategy before now to be, let's load up everything into the top of funnel and get everything as out there as possible so we can get as many people on the site as possible. And I think that the argument to be made is not that that top of funnel isn't of any use anymore, because they are eating our sandwich. Like, featured snippets was the first bite, but then LLMs, they're really repackaging what is there. But the mentality of, you know, just feed the ducks and then you have a bunch of ducks. Well, you know what? You need a duck catching system to turn the ducks into something, into the next stage. So if you are thinking about top of funnel, middle funnel, bottom of funnel, you need to be thinking as much about the navigation of, okay, if somebody is on my site and reading this, am I pulling them to that middle or bottom with a CTA? Have I done my internal linking to get them to go to do the next thing? Have I structured the layout of my blog to even let them know that there's more? Or am I just putting up my hands and breadcrumbs and hoping that the pigeon will jump and stay in my pocket? Like, you know, is it more about building sticky systems of content versus just like, oh, we're just doing content marketing, here's all the stuff?
Yeah, you just described the difference between SEO and a great SEO, because great SEOs understand exactly that. Improving the top of funnel pages, giving the people, like, you're literally funneling cold traffic to your website. Cold-ish, you know. But if you don't give them that way in, if you don't, for starters, if the article is not interesting, if it doesn't grab them in the first 3 seconds, if they have nowhere to go after that, they will just bounce. So are you doing it only for the algorithm and for the sake of topical authority and that you read on some blog? Or are you doing it to actually be valuable and get you all of the, turn the impression into click, turn the click into revenue? And it's not going to be today. Like, I have a theory on impressions, and impressions are really valuable, especially today. Top of the funnel pages, yes, that's one aspect of it. We need those impressions, especially new brands. People need to see us everywhere when they're searching for relevant topics. The more they see us, the more the chances get bigger for them to type in directly, to do a direct search or put in the URL and convert on the website, or tell a friend. That still remains the best referral of them all. A friend told me.
There's so many, you're right. It is stupid. I'll say this. It's controversial. It's stupid to just blog, because Think about the origin of blog was weblog, and the weblog was a journal entry, and you just, you know, threw your vomited your concept out, and you hoped that somebody liked the way that you just threw spaghetti on the wall. And so, like, that's all it is. And you know, businesses would be like, oh, I need to throw spaghetti on the wall to succeed. And so agencies saw that need and didn't take it further, because what you actually need is you need to very carefully pull those spaghetti threads where they're supposed to go. And I've done so many audits. You know, I audited a concrete wall company's site and was helping with their team of creating the content. We're going through all of the old content that they threw up. It's like, oh, there's a hurricane. Yeah, walls help with hurricanes. We should have a post for that. Spaghetti. You know, oh, you can paint it different colors. Oh, here's how paint looks on walls. Like, what? Like, there was no coherent connection. There was no the amount of blog posts where I've seen, there's no even call to action. It was just like, there wasn't headers. There was like an image, six paragraphs of text, no links to anywhere else. And you're like, who approved this? Like, we are way past the time when, you know, it's acceptable to create content that's not connected to other content on your site. You know, like, we have these superpowers now with AI to be able to, you know, do at least fundamentally, you know, connect and see, okay, what articles have I written that are related to other things that I've already written? If you can't type in a prompt to analyze your own blog posts just to find what you've already made that's related to each other and ask to build internal links, what are you doing? Like, I mean, you could use a plugin if you have WordPress if necessary, but honestly, just connect it through a REST API. Just go into your profile, create an authorized password, give it to Claude Code, and you're able to edit your WordPress site 10 times faster. Like, yeah, you got to go check and make sure it didn't break everything, but it also can, like you said, let's go. Let's break something because what we've been doing is broken.
Yeah. I mean, if we end up like reapproving and perfecting all of the articles and pages, and this button must be 3 pixels wider, like, come on. Let's get it. Let the people say. Let the people be the judge. The user is always right, right? And do you know what is a very frequent problem with agencies that I'm seeing all the time? And you've seen it too. They land a large client, an established brand that already work with several agencies. And what do agencies do? Blogs. They all do blogs. And the picture that you just described. And they start doing, oh no, we must rewrite the previous articles because the previous agency sucked. We will write you better articles. Here is the new content. And they still write blogs. Dude, come on. I mean, this is an established brand. Focus on the middle of the funnel. Read the data.
Make some downloadables. Make some PDFs. Make a knowledge base.
Make some linkable assets. Make a knowledge base. Yeah. Improve the top, the bottom funnel pages. Improve where the money is. Like, build there, check if they're ranking, because that's a very, like, I see this all the time. A lot of SEOs think that, bottom of the funnel pages are very hard to optimize because they tend to rank for very generic keywords. And the way they should be optimized is through internal linking from blog articles to them. All right, that makes sense. But nowadays, it's not exactly like that. Intent is not only top, bottom, or mid. We have search engine intent as well. Like, literally, you check for a set of keywords or topics what pages are ranking. And you don't want to write an article about wall pricing, about concrete wall pricing. But perhaps you do, but in a different context. You know what I'm saying. Just optimize the bottom funnel pages. Give them more content or remove content. Analyze, study the engagement rate. Check your MS Clarity or whatever you're using nowadays.
I love Clarity. I just have to say that. And they added a little integration to pull in Google Analytics data as like a poke in the eye. I'm like, oh, I want all of Google Analytics data in Microsoft Clarity. They have like six data points and you can go into the page level navigation. It feels like GA3 did. So anybody that's listening, go add Microsoft Clarity because one, it's heat maps. Two, you can watch your user bump around your site and realize, oh my God, they got to that page and the image was broken. Oh my God, they got to this section and clicked this and it failed. They rage, you know, it'll even give you like mouse rage moments of like people shuffling their mouse around because it's not working. And yeah. You could save so much money if you realize, oh my God, my conversion widget is broken. This, you know, page isn't working. They're navigating and trying to click on this word or this image, and it's non-clickable. It looks like it. That was 10 extra clicks that would have gone to the next page. I need to link that. Like, you can see the behavior. You don't have to guess anymore. And you can also get citation information from Microsoft Copilot now. I have a handful of projects that's starting to pull that information in. So combine that with Google, with Bing Webmaster Tools, surfacing citation data, and then purportedly some projects somewhere are getting Google Search Console citation information in the last month or so. I haven't had one of my projects with it yet, but I'm assured that it is out there for some people. But, you know, it's the old classic problem of third-party rank trackings with the citation tracking, as it's the same problem we had with rank tracking, that the more people jumping in the water to check the temperature means that there's more bodies that we're counting of swimmers, and our audience of impressions is bloated.
I agree completely. How do you feel about prompt tracking? I mean, I have to ask that question. I myself am not a huge fan of it. Not an honest believer.
It is what it is. I use it as directionally as possible and try to caveat to the client of like, this is sticking your finger in the air. Now, if there's no wind blowing at all, that is a signal. If you're getting nothing, zero, that's something. But there's also that, like I was mentioning, it's a dragon eating its tail. And the more prompts that you feed into the system for it to track, there's a non-repeatability that's known for these LLM tools. It's as high as 80 or 90%. When Rand Fishkin tested it across a decent cohort of people. So if 80 to 90% of people who put the same exact query in are given a different result, then you're fighting for that 10 to 20% of repeatability. And so it becomes confusing of whether that's an anchor point of you've reached that level of, you know, highest visibility. So you just have to be careful of conflating it with a true signal, because it's until we get more developed sources, and I think it might be coming soon-ish as we move from ChatGPT ads being something that's only at enterprise level for the million-dollar companies, as it trickles further down and they try to capture mid-market businesses. Gain their trust, they're going to have to give metrics. And as soon as metrics come out and become sort of industry standard, then we'll have something that we might be able to work with. But it has to come from within the engines. These third-party tools, they have some sort of utility because they can point out when you don't exist at all, which matters, is yeah. helpful, but it's only helpful at the beginning of your campaign. Once you start showing up, it isn't a truly reliable, you know, system. It's really black box. So it is what it is, that there is a certain black box effect. So the only thing you can truly actually count is how many referrals of traffic of people actually came from the LLMs and how did they behave when they did. Because one of my interviews was with Paul Bautista, who worked with Revolver, a big clothing brand. And he said, you know, we've got 100,000 people coming from AI tools, but they're not converting. For them, it was a huge problem. You know, it looked really good on paper, but the conversion rate in comparison for them to organic was laughable because their organic was 5 million. So like the scale of difference is there. It's like, yeah, oh yeah. My God, they got 100,000 traffic, you know, people from AI citations and tools. That's insane. Well, they got millions of organic visitors. So if you take the fraction of how that's converting for them, it was not, you know, just what would have been a win for others. It's not the same thing. So it really, the signal comes down to tracking, you know, and I am grateful, I guess, for GA for finally of adding a specific channel of AI assistance. But that means that you have to play with Google Analytics 4 to try to get a report. Hopefully you've got a system to get that out of there and into a system you can actually analyze.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm a big fan of? Sentiment analysis. I think that really matters. I'm a true believer that authority is the new page rank, and trust that the brand builds is very important. And people often miss that. I'm seeing agencies, like newly popped off agencies, like me. I'm talking about other guys. But they sell prompt tracking as a service, and I don't even understand what they are tracking. Whether you need to first brainstorm and interview your client, you need to understand what are the brand values, and you need to create, you and Claude Code needs to create a full list of prompts that actually matter. And you need to put this into your system, and you need to ask all of the guys, all of the LLM guys, ChatGPT, Perplexity, and the others, what do they say? How do they answer these exact prompts? And who they cite you along with? Who they cite of your competitors, they cite as a better version, a better approach, and why? Dissecting that really does matter.
It's the portion of link building that was always actually the most interesting. Don't get into an argument about DA, DR, authority scores. What you need to be doing is looking at the pages that were ranking, where were they getting their links from, and what did their profiles look like? That was always the useful aspect. And you realizing, okay, 3/4 of this is junk. And so I narrow down to the 1/4 of what looks like possibly usable signals by Google. You reverse the crazy thing is that reverse engineering is so much easier in an LLM, because you can ask the stupid system, hey, why did you rank that? Why did you surface this as a citation? Why is this page up here? And like, oh, well, this chef was, listed in the top 10 chefs of Chicago on the top 10 list of chefs of Chicago blog. They were cited in this newspaper, and they showed up on this directory. They're telling you that you can ask, why aren't we asking? Just ask and then turn around and do something. Then have a system to try to get on those. Stop, you know, trying to get guest blog posts or exchange links with questionable people on Reddit, and try to figure out, okay, where can I get this brand mentioned? Can I get the CEO on a podcast? Can I put out a press release that's going to show up in this local newspaper? Can I reach out to City Hall for this charitable event that we're doing? You know, we're building, you know, links for Kilby, the Kilby project. We want to promote it. Well, if you're doing trash cleanups, make sure that your link, what you do IRL to promote your brand gets reflected online by paying attention to, you know, grab the Eventbrite listing and make sure that in the description it has a link. You'd be surprised how many event aggregator sites have followed links.
Yeah. I've seen some. And you know what's even funnier? Nowadays, to get cited in AI, you don't even need links. Did you see, I believe it was Pedro Diaz did a sort of experiment. He posted on his LinkedIn that he's the world's best, greatest renowned AI expert. And in 5 minutes, he published a screenshot in the comments where AI overviews are citing Pedro Diaz as the world's most renowned expert. Boom.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is looking at what are the power sources. I mean, just the fact that, you know, Lily Ray pointed it out over a year ago of LinkedIn has articles and those articles get cited. How many CEOs and founders are posting on LinkedIn, but not posting articles?
It's exactly
short hop, skip, and a jump. But, you know, these are the missing pieces in the puzzle.
Yeah, completely. By the way, because of that post of Lily, I started my LinkedIn newsletter. And
there you go.
AI adores it. So I can confirm Lily is telling the truth.
I ask this question of each of, I'm starting to ask this question of each of my guests. What is a head scratching moment? What's a challenge that you're trying to unravel, something you're working on that you want the input from the next SEO guest? What's an intractable problem, a challenge, and you want to see how they're handling it?
How are they explaining the new value of SEO to potential leads and clients? Because this is the hardest part. Currently, the market is kind of afraid. Everyone understands AI exists. It's there, but aren't exactly sure what to do with it. Can we fire our own team and switch it to AI? And how do they convince and explain? I myself presented exactly like I presented it here. Authority. We need search everywhere optimization. And in Haide Digital, we call it organic growth engineering, which is literally the combination of SEO, GEO, and AI automation, all of the three put together. But still, it's a very large concept to comprehend by a non-SEO person, you know? And this is quite hard for me and for a lot of fellow SEOs, but that I believe so. That would be an interesting point of view. And indeed, people, I don't believe business owners realize how important it is nowadays to surface properly on large language models, because all of your buyers and users are researching you there. They're comparing you with your competitors right there. And then they're visiting your websites either with a direct search or whatever, or clicking the ChatGPT link they got. And this is so important. And this would only grow, considering we are adding Google Shopping, agentic shopping as a concept. It's here now. Agents are going to do my shopping. Why not? And who are they going to shop from? I believe from the trustworthy stores that done the work.
I did have a guest and he said there are more opportunities now, and there are already businesses that are making more money because they have an AI capable agent that can sell to another AI agent directly without a human in the loop. You know, and he said that's going to be, you know, where a lot of the revenue is, you know, restaurants figuring out that their standing order for what they need, what they've used, that's not going to be a back of house thing. They're going to be asked, you know, feeding that list to their agent, and it will be able to reorder that restaurant order. And so the companies that the manufacturers, the suppliers that create that capability are going to be winning more and more. And so, you know, half of it is what Matt Brooks of Esoteric said, which is you need to train your least trustworthy customer service representative. And that's Claude. His name's Claude. His last name is GPT, and he's a Gemini.
And I'm kind of perplexed with all of this.
Well, I just mean, think of, like, you don't, at the moment, you have a customer support representative who isn't hired by you, but you can give them instructions, but haven't done so. And so if you think of your site, your resources, your top of mid funnel as informing your customer support representative within Claude, within GPT, within Microsoft, within these ecosystems, you in a much more direct fashion than you ever had with Google, you can directly influence the information available about your brand. There's always been this, because of the nature of the search engine and the way that it structured itself in Google, it was a very adversarial process to get yourself optimized and to put information out there about yourself, because Google, you know, they held the gold keys and could unlock a golden pantry of money. And so they, you know, everybody was trying to optimize for that. But there's LLMs operate on a different model that requires data and requires input for them to be able to do their basic mission. And we haven't adapted that model of thinking. We need to flip the script and say, okay, if I, you know, I need to better inform these third-party tools of exactly all of the things. That's why I think the entity map markdown that just came out, I forget who put it out. I'll put it in the show notes. But it's basically just, you should map out your entity. We're connected to this company, and this is our social media profiles, and this is what we do, and this is how we do it. That's what we should have been doing all along. But, you know, schema markup is such a clunky, you know, they wrapped it in all this mystery, and it's helpful, but it's not helpful. And, oh, we're going to take away FAQ markup, and bad, naughty boy, you overuse the tool that we told you to deploy on your site. You're abusing this markup because it's showing up in so many of our SERPs. Like, what are you talking about? Like, it just, make coming in trying to like shame SEOs for using the tool that you went to conferences for years to tell us to use schema, and then we actually use schema and you're like, nope, too much, we're pulling it back, you're abusing it. What? That's the frustrating reality of optimizing for Google. So when it comes to LLMs, we've adopted that same kind of mentality. When LLMs are like, what you got? Tell me about yourself. They have questions. I need to answer. I need to give them answers, because Claude is a people pleaser. ChatGPT is a people pleaser. Help them please them by giving them the information they seek. So that's my answer. As you know, SEO sits at the core of this process, because it is search everywhere, and the Venn diagram isn't a side-by-side overlap for SEO and LLMs. Everything in SEO, LLMs overlap it on every edge. Shifts around of how the other items that we interact with, but everything we do in some way feeds up to LLMs, whether it's link building and citations, because if you are linked well, you rank well. And if you rank well, you show up in those supporting queries when they don't have the knowledge base item. They look for more specific information and you show up. You know, SEO is in the middle again when you're in your creating content, because LLMs consume that content. It's in the middle when it comes to technical SEO, because if your site is slow as shit, then it's not going to rank and people aren't going to like it and they're going to have a bad experience. So all of these things that we've considered SEO, it's not a separate entity. It's the heart of great LLM optimization.
Yeah, I do believe that SEO is the orchestrator of everything else right now. Like, I believe we are the orchestrators.
I absolutely agree.
Of the new era of digital marketing, because you've been for quite some time. Can you give a job description? You need to know UX, you need to know development, JavaScript, WordPress, you need to know content writing and copywriting, social media, that's your job, link building, technical SEO, yeah, the development part, and what more, conversion rate optimization, that's on us. And now everything, finally, we are in the era where all of that matters even more. And it's even crucial. So SEO needs to be even higher demand. The demand is high right now, but it needs to be even higher, because it's literally the future. Sure, we do have ads. Sure, we will have ads in each LLM. Who knows when? But the organic is what stays and what brand should be built around. Yeah, everyone loves money. But go spend it on ads and neglect your organic and call me afterwards.
As we kind of wrap up here, give a shout out of how people can find you if you're putting content out. I think you mentioned that you have a LinkedIn newsletter, anything like that where people can connect, see what your thoughts are, and if they, you know, are smart, forward-thinking SaaS companies, contact you to work
with. Of course.
With.
You can always visit Haide.digital. We have several very interesting tools there that we've built. SEO nerds would love them. And also you can always reach out to me, Adrian Nikolov, and my newsletter is called Search Engineered, because I always treated SEO as an engineering issue instead of a marketing one.
Fantastic. This episode will go live with show notes with links to everything that we've talked about. I have a full archive of unscripted SEO interviews. You can tap and find all kinds of previous experts sounding off on all kinds of topics. So go explore unscriptedseo.com. Of course, like and subscribe if you saw this on YouTube. Spread the signal. I appreciate you. Thanks and bye.